ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Kadari Richmond will forever be our point guard. Forever your girl. Paula Abdul's artist of the day. She married one of the Estevez. Emilio? On this day. Happy anniversary. I'm sure they're divorced by now. It was Hollywood.
Let's see how long that marriage lasted while we're waiting on Mike McAllister.
All right. I'm going to do it, Steve.
It lasted 2 years.
Congratulations.
92, they got married, they filed for divorce.
It's 2 years more. Come on, I'll get the mic in a second. It will, oh my God. I'm trying to do a magic eight ball of if Kadari Richmond is coming. All right, is Kadari Richmond coming to Syracuse? Magic eight ball. It's my version of the crystal ball, Steve. It says, without a doubt, without a doubt, guys. Go get your jerseys. I don't know what number he wears. Don't care. But go get your Syracuse Kadari Richmond jerseys. He's coming back. Without a doubt, Magic 8-Ball has been posted on the Pauly Sebelia recruiting websites.
And then we should have like an asterisk that says Magic 8-Ball has never been right.
0-1.
0-1. As we welcome in our good friend Mike McAllister from 24/7 Sports. Mike, great to have you on. How was your weekend?
A little busy on Saturday with the announcement of Dakota Lafeu, but otherwise was pretty good and relaxing.
All right. Have you been listening to our show, Mike?
I listen to it most days during the week. I haven't listened to it today yet.
Today we are arguing about, is there a chance Kadari Richmond could return to Syracuse?
Well, in the world of recruiting, you never say never. So I don't want to say that there's a 0% chance, but it's pretty close to that. Now, that's not because I think Syracuse doesn't want him or wouldn't want him or they can't use him. He's, you know, wouldn't have an impact here. He would. He's really good. He's a fantastic player. He'd be a great fit here for a lot of reasons. And the storyline, from my perspective, would be fantastic, having him come back to where he started his college career. There's a lot of storylines there, would get a lot of views and all that stuff. So that would be good from my perspective. But I think he's gonna be in sort of a bidding war to some extent, and I think he's gonna command a lot of NIL money wherever he goes. And I think it's gonna end up getting to the point where it's too rich for Syracuse. So the only chance that he would come to Syracuse, I think, is if he decided to take a discount, quote unquote, in order to come back to Syracuse and then play here.
All right, let's talk about Dakota Lafeu. As you said, the announcement made over the weekend. I know that you thought he was coming here. It didn't end up happening. Can you walk us through, in from your perspective, what happened down the stretch with Dakota Lafeu in Syracuse?
Yeah, so after he finished his visits, he didn't commit to any place while he was on those visits. And reading some tea leaves and everything else, South Carolina was starting to talk to other guards and had other guards coming to visit. Same thing with Villanova, and Villanova already had a guard committed. And Georgia was the other school that was really heavily involved. There was never an official report that he actually ended up visiting Xavier. So Georgia, while they were the home state team, they didn't have as attractive a roster, in my view, as the other three schools did. I thought the other three schools were better set up, at least the way the rosters are constructed now, that the addition of Dakota Lafeu would have a larger impact, that they would be closer to being a tournament team or being a competitive team, whereas I didn't think Georgia was there yet, even with the addition of Dakota Lafeu. So it seems like, and from some rumblings that I was hearing, that Syracuse was in a really good spot. We know they got the connection to his former head coach. And then when those rumblings started happening and the commitment didn't happen within a day or so, then it started to seem like the longer it went, the worse it was for Syracuse. And so you talk to people, you reach out to sources, you read tea leaves, you try to figure out what's going on. And about a day or so before he ended up committing, that's when we started getting word that Georgia basically had Georgia and Syracuse were the two that were recruiting him the hardest. Georgia came through, continued to recruit him hard, I think gave him a very sizable NIL deal. And ultimately, you know, all of those factors ended up that he committed to Georgia. So tough break for Syracuse. There's no doubt they went after him pretty hard and they wanted him. But, you know, as I said on social media, they'll be okay. They'll find someone to come in, and they've already been linked to another transfer guard already that I think might end up being better than Dakota LeFou. So we'll see how it all plays out, but Syracuse will be okay.
Let me ask you this, Mike. If this is the roster right now, are you okay with it? Because are you capable of getting another guard to come in? And, you know, is there enough time to go around for players that want to come in from the transfer portal?
It's a good question. So if you told me that the roster as currently constructed was going to stay healthy all year, then yeah, I'd be good with it. My concern is, what if you don't have Chance Westry again? He has some sort of setback or is out for prolonged periods. You know, he hasn't played in multiple years. He's had a lot of injury issues. So what if that creeps up again? I feel like you have a deficiency in terms of who your backup small forward is going to be. Now, I know there's been some speculation that Jair Davis could play there, but if he is playing as your three, I think your ability to shoot the ball from the outside goes down quite a bit because you're taking Chris Bell off the floor if you do that. And you can't expect Chris Bell to have to play 40 minutes every single game. So I feel like you could use some depth there. You've only got two scholarship centers on the roster, so having someone else that can play the five would be helpful in a perfect world. Having another guard on the roster in a perfect world would be nice for depth purposes. But reality is, as you said, Paulie, it's tough to convince transfers that oftentimes are leaving because they're either not playing enough or they want to move up a level but are still expecting to play a lot to come take and accept a backup role, a third string type role, etc. That's not to say it's impossible. UConn has had success doing that the last couple of years, but it is more difficult than when you have a starting spot available to them. Now, from a guard perspective, the pitch that Syracuse can make is, yes, we brought in Jaquan Carlos, but no one has been penciled in as a starter. So you have every opportunity to compete for that starting spot and earn a lot of minutes. That's, I think, what your pitch would be. And, you know, the other option I think that Syracuse has is to look at junior college players, because with the transfer portal, junior college players, I think, often get overlooked. The guy who won Junior College Player of the Year, I think, ended up committing to Fresno State. So that's someone who I think in years past probably goes to a high major program, a power conference program. And I think Syracuse has an opportunity to grab some good players that might be more willing to take on a backup role at the high major level at the junior college ranks. So Syracuse will have options. I think they will end up using, if not all of their scholarships, most of their scholarships, adding one or two more players. But it's certainly more difficult when you have the roster set up the way that it does and there isn't an obvious spot where there's a clear path to starting.
You mentioned a moment ago that you know, Syracuse has already been linked to another guard. I assume you're talking about Ken Evans Jr. out of Jackson State. If he is indeed the player you're talking about, what kind of player is he, and what are the chances Syracuse lands him?
Well, it's a little too early to say what the chances that they land him, but here's the thing. Some of the other schools that he's been linked to, Mississippi State being one of them, already has two guard commitments from the transfer portal. West Virginia is another one. They've got a couple of guard commitments, at least one. And, you know, St. John's, I think, was another one, but they've been heavily linked to Kadari Richmond and several other guards. So it seems like there might be an opportunity for Syracuse to come in and go after him pretty hard, get him on campus for a visit, and perhaps get that done if that's the route they want to go. But there hasn't been a lot of chatter on his recruitment since about 6-7 days ago. So it's been pretty quiet on that front. He was supposed to take a St. John's visit. We don't know whether or not that actually ended up happening. So still a lot to sort of sort out there. But he's really good. He can score. You know, I think he was over 17, 18 points a game. And some similar stats and similar measurables to what Dakota LaFeu was, but a better outside shooter. He was at 39% from three-point range last year. I just think he's a little bit more of a combo guard, where I think LaFeu probably transitioned, or you know, you could make the argument that he could play the one a little bit better than what you could with Evans, but still a really good player who would be, you know, if he starts or comes off the bench, I think someone that would quickly become a fan favorite for Syracuse.
I was going to ask you that if they land him, would your expectation be that he'd be the starting point guard?
I think if I had to make a prediction at that point, my expectation would be that Jaquan Carlos would be the starting point guard, and that Evans would be the first guy to come off the bench from the backcourt that you would have. He would kind of be able to spell either Carlos or JJ, and you could play him with either one of those. And in that scenario, I think Chance Westry would probably split some time between guard and forward, and perhaps most of his minutes would be as the primary reserve to Chris Bell, but he would still, you know, get 20, 25 minutes a game, assuming he can stay healthy.
All right, let's move on to football. You know, what's the latest? I feel like every time we turn around, there's another player signed. What do you have in regards to football for us?
So I believe the most recent transfer commitments are Savion Washington, offensive lineman from Colorado, and they got the defensive back Clarence Lewis from Notre Dame. So those guys come in. I think Savion Washington is going to be one of the favorites to start almost immediately. Whereas I think you look at Clarence Lewis, and I think he's someone that is going to be battling for a spot. But he'll certainly have an opportunity to land one of those starting spots. But he's, I think, behind the eight ball a little bit just because he wasn't here for the spring and several of the incoming guys already were. So I think that gives them a leg up. But, you know, and then, of course, you've got Justice Ross Simmons, who committed from Colorado State, the wide receiver. He's someone that Florida wanted. Penn State and Alabama called, and we're talking to try to get him on campus for a visit. He's a big, big pickup, and wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up cracking the starting lineup. He's going to play a lot of snaps, and he's going to see a lot of targets for sure.
All right, and let's touch on women's lacrosse before we let you go. Not a great way to go into the NCAA tournament, but I guess if you're going to, you know, play a poor game, better to do it in the ACC tournament than when it really matters in the NCAAs. What do you make of that loss to BC? Obviously, it's a team that, you know, the SU women continue to struggle with. Any concerns now heading into the NCAA with the SU women?
The main concern is that you run into Boston College again. Yeah. I feel like Syracuse can compete with and beat anybody else in the country. And I know Northwestern is going to go in as the top seed, and deservedly so. And Syracuse lost to them earlier this season. It was a very competitive game, but Syracuse beat them last year. So I think Syracuse would go into that game confident. It just feels like with Boston College, it's a mental block as much as it is anything else. You know, when you jump out to a 5-1 lead and you're dominating both ends of the field, dominating at the draw control, and then you win 7-8 draw controls in a row from the point where you got that 5-1 lead, and the other team ends up scoring 4 or 5 goals and ties it up, and you don't score at all. You go a quarter and a half with how dynamic this offense is without scoring. It's a mental block. They commit turnovers as much as, you know, uncharacteristic turnovers more so than they do against other opponents. Weird things always seem to happen. You come down to the end of a game where Syracuse has a 1-goal lead in the final minute. All you have to do is run the clock out. They turn it over. You think about the regular season game earlier this year. They had a wide open player in front of the net in overtime for what should have been a gimme goal, and they can't convert that. Boston College comes down the other end and scores and wins. It just seems like no matter what happens, Boston College believes they can't lose to Syracuse, and Syracuse believes they can't beat Boston College, and it ends up playing out that way. So I still think Syracuse is one of the 3-4 best teams in the country. I still think they've got a legitimate shot to make a run towards the Final Four and get to championship weekend. I just think if they're going to win it, it feels like someone else is going to have to knock off Boston College for them.
Yeah. All right. Great stuff as always, Mike. We appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Mike McAllister from 24/7 Sports. And with that, we'll hit a timeout.
Hey, you don't hit a timeout without me doing something really quick.
What?
We're going to find out if Evans is coming to Syracuse. Magic 8 Ball says, can't predict now. That is an unacceptable answer from the Magic 8 Ball. Can't predict. It's up in the air, guys. Sorry.
It might be the first time it's been right, though.
Yeah. It's about as right as Twitter is about predictions.
All right. We'll hit a timeout now. We're song bracket coming up as we wrap up hour number one next, back after this on ESPN Radio.